This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you can be with us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. All-Star game last night, Major League Baseball taking center stage. There is an NBA event going on right now in Las Vegas. It's their Summer League event. And if you're not familiar with that, it's a chance for young guys to, all the teams go there. They create a roster of young talent that they want to see. Usually it's your draft picks and some other guys that you kind of piece together a team. Stars don't play in it at all, but it's a chance for a guy to maybe make a roster or showcase their skills to hopefully get signed, even with another team. You can play for the Celtics, for example, to get signed by the Raptors. But Commissioner Adam Silver had a news conference during the Summer League event and talked about free agency and some of the rules that are governing free agency. Now, listen, NBA has the wildest free agency because a lot of things can happen so quickly and a lot of teams' fortunes can change hands just in a quick minute. When guys are already figuring out where they want to go and how they can orchestrate getting other players to go there too. But Silver said that they need to start breaking down some rules and starting enforcing rules. I have no idea what that means and how you're going to do that. But I will say this. This is something that the NBA has done over time into allowing players to have more power in dictating where they want to go. Now, is there some sort of backroom dealings that these players are making? Yeah. Is there tampering involved? Most, more likely. But owners and teams, those are the coaches and general managers, those are the ones that get affected by tampering. Players always talk and always chat and always have ways to get messages to one another. And that is going to be really hard to enforce. But I can see what Adam Silver is seeing in the league. When Oklahoma City goes from, hey, we have Russell Westbrook and Paul George, wouldn't it be nice if we could add something else to that to make ourselves a winning team, to losing pretty much both guys, as now they're exploring a trade for Russell Westbrook because it came out of this conversation Kawhi had with Paul George to get himself out of Oklahoma City, and now the franchise is rebuilding and going from, hey, let's try to build something, to rebuilding so quickly. I can see where his concern is, but this is the bed you made by letting players do that. And players taking advantage of this is no fault of theirs. They want to play with who they want to play with, where they want to play with, and you've given them the ability to do that.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we roll along. Good, the bad, the dumb coming up in this hour. So did you see this story, Ron, about Serena Williams apologizing to Naomi Osaka after the U.S. Open last year? Osaka?
Oh, no.
Yeah, so she apologized for basically losing her mind in the semifinals. Oh, was it semifinals or the finals? No, it was the finals.
It was the final.
I'm sorry, it was the finals. Because Osaka won the finals and then got booed for winning. Because Serena Williams lost her mind against that official. So just to recap, she was given a warning or a point warning on getting coaching from the sidelines. And then she went crazy. And then she was yelling at the guy. She called him a thief. He gave her put another point down. She broke her racket. She lost another point. And Naomi Osaka won the U.S. Open. And, you know, there were boos that were coming down, not on her, but of the situation. They were still upset, you know, about what Serena was upset about. And, you know, she gave a big speech while she was yelling at that chair umpire about, you know, I have a daughter, you know, blah, 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 blah. So she finally said, listen, she had to go to therapy. She had to get therapy. And then she wrote a letter of apology to Osaka for that and got a response back. So said she was looking to find peace. That was one of the more bizarre outbursts I've seen Serena in her career. And I felt bad at the time for this young girl that became the U.S. Open champion. Imagine you're winning. You play your whole career, like you're all through junior tennis. Like, I want to win a championship someday. And you're going up against your idol, and she's like having a meltdown, and you end up winning, and you don't feel good about winning, and the moment is taken away from you. You feel like there was something wrong. Serena said, I started seeing a therapist. I was searching for answers, and although I felt like I was making progress, I still wasn't ready to pick up a racket. Finally, I realized there was only one way for me to move forward. It was time to apologize to the person who deserved it the most. Yeah, that's kind of nice. I'm sure Osaka was just thrilled to pieces to get an apology. She is such a huge fan of Serena Williams that they asked her at the end. They said, you know, they asked her at the end of the semifinals or something, when she was going to play Serena. So what do you have a message for? She said, I love you. She was such a fan. And yet she wins the U.S. Open. And the story was this official who may have gone over the line in assessing Serena point penalties for getting coaching and busting up her racket and then screaming at her and calling him a thief for stealing points away. But Serena Williams is in the semifinals of Wimbledon now?
Yeah.
Moving
along. I thought that's what you were talking about. She had to make an apology yesterday as well.
Did she really?
She had a...
I didn't see that.
No, she returned a serve that even surprised her.
Oh, really?
It was an American girl, Risque or some Risk or something. I don't know how to say her. I think it's Amanda Risk or Risque. I'm not sure how to say her last name. It's
It'd be cool if it was Risque. That'd be a cool last name to have.
But Riske. That would just be Risk, right?
Yeah. And if she's American, it's Risk.
Yeah. Or Risk, because we'll say it weird.
probably Risk. We're probably totally butchering it.
This girl hit served the ball. It was a great serve. And Serena was able to return it and just shot it down the line. And was just like, she even had this look like, whoa, sorry about that. I didn't know I still had that in me.
Right, because here's the great thing about Serena Williams, and even Venus to that extent, because I know she got an early exit in Wimbledon. God, I feel like I've been watching them forever. Like, forever.
Yes.
I mean, I don't remember.
Let's be honest. We haven't really been watching Venus all too much.
No, not Venus per se, but the Williams in general,
the Williams
right?
In general.
Serena is still...
I feel like I read an article about them, like... in Sports Illustrated back when I was in high school.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it might have been in junior high, but it was a story about them as kids. You know, these two tennis players coming up through Compton. I vividly remember reading, it was like a classroom assignment, you know, like one of those Scholastic News type of things. And, you know, just reading about them then and just knowing, okay, these two girls are pretty good. And then Venus burst on the scene shortly after that. And then along came Serena, and at the time, I thought Venus was going to have a much better career than Serena.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Their father say that when Venus was playing well, he's like, well, I got a younger daughter that's even better than this. And it was Serena. But yeah. I always thought Venus was, you know, because Venus ruled Wimbledon for a long time. And then Serena was winning, you know, she kind of found her groove, and then she started winning everything else. But if she wins another one, I don't even know how old Serena Williams is, but what, 35?
Yeah, she's mid 30s. 36,
37? It's gotta be on the other side of 35, right? Because I feel like I've been watching them since the 90s. Just insane tennis at their age. Listen, Jimmy Connors, if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to look this up. Remember when Jimmy Connors in the early 90s made that run? They did a 30 for 30 on it. This is what they want, you know, giving the people what they want. I think it was 38 when he was making that big run where he was like, I'm an old man out here. I can't run around doing this. What am I doing? And Serena's got to be like 36 years old, 37 years old. She's 37?
Yeah, she'll be turning 38 come September.
Do you think she could win a tennis tournament in her 40s at 40? Ooh. Could she win? Tennis is an incredibly young person's game.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that could happen.
I don't either, but I mean, she's in the semifinals of Wimbledon now, but it is tennis is a really young person's game. I mean, 30 is over the hill in that sport. You hit 30, that's it. Start counting down. That's why when guys like Roger Federer and those, you know, guys who are winning in their 30s, that's why it is special, because you just don't really do that. I mean, how old was Borg when he retired? 26? It's like, I'm out. Getting out.
Yeah, or then you had the opposite where you had like John McEnroe, Jimmy Connors playing well beyond. Remember Jimmy Connors had that U.S. Open run?
Yeah, that was what I was saying. He was about 38 years old, right?
Yeah. He might have. Was he older?
I think he was in his late 30s. I don't think he was at 38 or 39. I don't think he was over 40. But it was, everyone was caught up in it because he was an old man. He was an old man for tennis. And he shouldn't have been doing that. Because even he said, I'm busting my butt out here. I'm 39 years old or whatever 39. He was.
He turned 39 yeah. during the tournament.
He's like, I'm 39 years old. What am I doing out here? He's like making these. And everyone was like, oh, this is the best. He's an old man.
Yep. Lost in the semis to Jim Courier.
Jim Courier, who's probably, what, 19 at the time?
Something like that.
I mean, my God. When I was in school, Michael Chang won the French Open. You think he was 17 years old? Boris Becker won Wimbledon at like at 16 or 17. It's a young person's sport. And then when you get, you know, again, like when you turn 30 and you're still winning, not playing, you can still play. You can still go to these tournaments and, you know, bow out in round three or whatever. I'm talking actually hoisting the trophy. If you're in your 30s playing tennis and you're hoisting trophies, that's great. Awesome. Special. Right? Enjoy it. Because usually it doesn't happen. That's why Federer's career is amazing. But usually when you're about 27, 28 years old, the clock's ticking. Get out of there. She's 37. Could win Wimbledon. I got to be honest with you. I don't even know some of the young players on the women's side of tennis.
No, that's the one thing. I just can't. We had that magical run with that 15-year-old Coco
Gauff.
Gauff,
yeah.
Is that
how you pronounce her last name?
I don't know. I feel like I keep butchering it every time I try.
Probably.
But that, I looked at that as like, okay, we need her to do well.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Because, you know, it's sad what happened with the men's. The men's game, I mean, men's tennis, we dominated. We had Pete Sampras, Andre Agassi for years. And it just seemed
Jim
like
Courier was winning the French all the time.
No one seemed to get the better of them. And as soon as they retired, we had Andy Roddick, and that was it.
That was about it.
And once Andy Roddick was finished, we haven't had a, you know, U.S. hasn't put up a decent male tennis player in years now.
Well, go back to the start of the story about Williams apologizing to that young girl, Osaka, for right? I had no idea that Naomi Osaka really should have beat Serena Williams. She was better. She's one of the top tennis players in the world. I didn't know that because I'm so focused on the names I know, right? And that's it. Whereas, you know, hey, listen, I grew up, Wimbledon was always on my TV, and, you know, 4th of July weekend, you know, early January, you know, July, early July. So I watched it, Becker and McEnroe, and, you know, then it was Steffi Graf, and then it was, you know, Martina Navratilova, Chris Everett. Like, you watch all these tennis players. But after a while, you know, after Sampras and Agassi and Courier, I kind of lost interest in the men's game. Federer kind of brought it back. I kind of watched Andy Roddick a bit. Remember, they used to battle it out. But the women's game has always been Serena, Venus, and I can't figure out anybody else, right? And that's basically how tennis sort of disappeared for me. But 37, my God, that's great. Good for her. She might win this thing at 37 years old. And she's definitely not, you know, done. She might win. I don't know, 40 is pushing it, though. 40 is pushing it. I'd like to find out if any of the, like if anybody won Wimbledon at 40, like in the, you know, 20s and 30s or anything like that. I mean, that's a tough sport to do in, you know, very late in life. All right. Again, 800-777-2907. I want to get more back into this NBA story about Adam Silver. There's more to it, the Russell Westbrook possible trade. But in terms of what Adam Silver has been saying about free agency, is there any way he can enforce tampering on players? We'll talk about that next, coming up on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio at SB Nation AM. As again, we roll along on following the All-Star game last night, won again by the American League. 4-3, it's the seventh straight time they have won the All-Star game. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, so if you're Adam Silver, do you have a problem? Do you have a problem? Because players are talking and they're basically controlling their own fate. And if you have players controlling their own fate, well, you could see the shift of balance come against your league. How do you do it? Well, it's one thing if you're a general manager and you tamper with talking about another player or talking to a player when he's under contract. That's an enforceable penalty that you can enact on the franchise. An owner does it. That's, again, same thing. It's an enforceable penalty. But how do you stop Kawhi Leonard from talking to Paul George at a shoot-around or during the offseason or getting together for a cup of coffee? How do you do it? I don't know if you can. I don't think there's any scenario in which you can. There's a deniability aspect of it. Oh, we weren't saying anything. We're just on the same page together. It's hard to monitor. Publicly, if a GM makes a comment, you can smack them down, right? If they publicly say something about a particular player while they're under contract, you could say, okay. If you actively pursue a player and it gets known to the league, you could do that. Because there's a vested interest, you know, the leagues have, the teams monitor the other teams to make sure they're not tampering. How do you do it with players? How do you do it with players, especially players that are free agents? You know, Kawhi Leonard he could have gone anywhere. While he was done with basketball with the Toronto Raptors until he signed his new deal, how do you enforce anything? I mean, how do you tell him he can't have a conversation with anybody? Look, this is the one thing that is both appealing about the NBA and it hurts the NBA. The creation of super teams, it's been a debate with us in the sports world for what, 10 years? But in reality, super teams have always been formulated to win championships. They just haven't been formulated this way. Right? You know, the Lakers had a whole bunch of stars. The Celtics had a whole bunch of stars. The Pistons had a whole bunch of stars. It's very hard to win the NBA championship without a bunch of stars. Right? Jordan got Pippen and then later got Rodman. And then he also added all these other players to it. It's very hard to win an NBA title. But what we didn't like was there was a blatantness and an openness to what happened in Miami, even though people pointed out, hey, you know, this kind of has happened before. But what has usually happened before was you'd have a good team and then you would get the one free agent that would come aboard, right? The Lakers would go get Shaquille O'Neal and then create that team. Right? The Celtics got Robert Parrish, Bill Walton in 96 was an addition to their team to make the run, right? They would go get a player and make that work, make that fit. And what LeBron had did was he sort of said, well, you know what? I'm bringing Chris Bosh with me, and we talked, and we're going down, and we're going to play with Dwayne Wade. And people went, well, I don't know about this. I don't really like this. I don't really like how this is going down. But here's the problem. We didn't like it, and we didn't like the way he delivered it, but a lot of people support the idea that players have and should have the ability to play wherever they want, right? If you want to play in Los Angeles and you can play in Los Angeles, who's to tell you you can't? If you are free to do that, who's to tell you you can't? We all appreciate the mobility of our own lives. We all want to be able to work for whoever we want, wherever we want, when we can. You might like living in New England. You might not like living in the Pacific Northwest. You might like living in Florida. Wherever you live, you might say, this is where I want to be. And I'm glad I don't have to live in name the state outside that region. Maybe you don't want to go south. Maybe you don't want to go west. So when your company says, yep, you have to move to California because we're relocating there, you might say, well, I'm going to find another place to work. I don't want to uproot my family and work there. Well, sports is different. You go where you go and you get traded sometimes. You got to go there too. But when freedom arrives, when you are free to go make that decision, who's to say you can't do that? So we appreciate, we looked at LeBron and said, on the one hand, go do what you want to do. On the other hand, we did not like the way you did it. Well, now the NBA has got this dramatic shift in power where it's not being controlled by their own owners and general managers. It is now being controlled by the players. And players who have that little bit of freedom and can talk are starting to create the right scenarios for them. And it just, you know, in a very quick amount of time, look at the fortunes of Brooklyn. Look at the fortunes of the Clippers changing quickly. The fortunes of Oklahoma City changing quickly. They now have 7 first-round picks. Six, I should say. Getting one from Denver in the deal with Jeremy Grant. They have 6 to start rebuilding. And now the conversation is, Russell, where do you want to go? Because what you thought you had 10 minutes ago, you don't have anymore. We're rebuilding. That's how quick. And think about like Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, where Kyrie says, I'd like to go to Brooklyn. And Kevin goes, yeah, I'll go to Brooklyn too. If you're Adam Silver, I'm sure you're feeling the heat from the owners saying, man, is there anything we can do about this? But he's going to point out, this is what we gave him. We've given him this power. What really can we do?
So no chance that Russell goes to a Charlotte. Or I'm trying to think of teams that don't really have a bona fide star.
Right.
It's pretty much certain that he's going to go to a team that already has a star, like a Miami with Jimmy Butler.
Well, let's see. He wants to go to Miami. That's right. What I've heard. If you're Oklahoma City, I don't know if you have to do this. I don't think you have to make Russell Westbrook happy, but I don't, but again, you want him to cooperate, right? You want him to cooperate on the deal.
But
I don't know what
his
no trade clause. I don't know what his contract says about being traded.
But if the Thunder are in full blown rebuild mode, I mean, I know it's a huge salary and they would have to, that's going to be hard to pass off on another team. Unless that team has the cap space for it. But, I mean, just say, take the salary out of it for a second. The draft haul that they could grab with Russell Westbrook and young talent, you're looking at a Thunder team that, they'll have, 5 picks next year and then 5 picks the following year. It's going to be absolutely ridiculous.
They've got a ton. I mean, they're – and, again, it was – quite a haul from the Clippers, and they also picked up a good young player. But in sitting with Russell Westbrook, you're going to say, listen, I mean, we appreciate the 11 years. We need the cooperation of you, obviously, because look, they want him to cooperate in the trade because they'd like to shred salary and get something major in return as part of the rebuild. And he wants out because he's just going to get triple doubles every night for a losing team because he's got nobody else around him. So the two need to work together on it. I don't know if you owe Russell Westbrook anything. If a deal comes from a team he doesn't want to go to and you just take it, you say, yeah, whatever. Unless, of course, his contract says he can be, has the final say in a trade. I don't know how it reads, but I don't know if you owe him anything. But I think you would do it as a good, good gracious, out of your good graciousness to say, listen, can you help us out? Be part of this trade. We really want you out of here because we gotta start rebuilding and you don't want to be here when we're doing it. God, I kind of feel bad for Billy Donovan. Like Donovan left a really good college gig to go to the NBA. He had a really good team and now he doesn't have a team anymore. Now he's going to be coaching a team of, all right, we'll start rebuilding again. That's how quick it can happen. It's amazing to me. Like normally you see teams like in the NFL because really everything centers around your quarterback. And as long as you've locked in your quarterback and your quarterback is decent and Hall of Fame worthy and Pro Bowl worthy, then you're going to have a pretty good team. You're going to have a decent team. You got to build around that. You got to build a better defense, put some weapons around them.
Got to get that offensive line.
Got to get that offensive line. But when the teams start declining, it's because their quarterback is declining or they don't have one to begin with. Right? You don't get stripped of your assets overnight, right? Like that's what I felt like happened here. Like, you don't get stripped of your hope immediately when you wake up one day and you're like, oh, shoot, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady were talking, and or whatever. It, you know, it doesn't, that doesn't exist. Or Peyton Manning and whoever was talking. It doesn't happen in the NFL.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
It is the good, the bad, the dumb on a Wednesday morning. By the way, are you leaving for vacation?
I am. That's the good.
That's the good. So,
I'm out of here.
So this is the last one for a while until you come back. Because yes. We don't do this. We do not do this segment without you.
No.
I do not ask other people to put this together. This is our thing.
Although others have asked, you know, me, can they do it?
Yeah. Oh, so I got it.
I'm going to, you know, if they want to, I'll let them do it.
You should get a royalty.
I should.
Every time, you know, every time they do it, you should get a little, like the little, you know, 10-cent checks you get when you appear in a commercial.
I haven't applied for the trademark yet.
That's true.
It's still in the patent office.
Got it.
There's too much red tape.
All right, so let's get to the good.
The good of the day is Rose Lavelle.
Oh, yeah, Rose Lavelle, the U.S. women's soccer player.
The breakout superstar of the U.S. women's national team. And I'm going to make this prediction right now. She is quickly becoming the new face of the U.S. women's national team.
Is she really?
I think so. I think she is, you know, I mean, let's face it. Megan Rapinoe, this was her last World Cup.
Okay.
Although I think she could.
Yeah, she's in her 30s, isn't she?
Yeah, she's pushing way 30. I want to say like 37. Alex Morgan turned 30. During this World Cup. So I really feel like she only has maybe one more in her. So Rose Lavelle, who's only 24, I think this is her chance to shine.
All right.
And there's two reasons for this. One is when she was in elementary school, she went to I think she was in third grade when this happened, that her third grade teacher had a class assignment for everybody. And the class assignment was, you know, to do a report, a book report, if you will, on your hero. And then you get to come in and dressed up as your hero. And you'll never guess who she chose as her hero.
Abby Wambach.
Mia Hamm.
Oh, okay. I'm
so, I mean, definitely a soccer player. And, you know, she predicted back then that that's what she was going to do with her life.
That's awesome.
And
that's
great. Fruition. And then she dropped this little nugget the other day on Good Morning America.
I think all of us, you like grow up and it's kind of something you've always like envisioned yourself doing. So I never like to call it a dream because it was like something that I really felt was going to be a reality someday.
So she has the swagger that we need, right? She never thought it was going to be a dream. She was like, no, this will be a reality. I'm going to win a World Cup.
That is amazing when you realize that it is literally impossible to make a U.S. women's or men's soccer team, given all the kids that play. Like, it's so hard to do. This is not being one of a Major League Baseball player among 30 teams. You're talking about a roster of, 20-something people? Yeah, and here's the deal. And what's in your window of opportunity to make that team, there might be three openings. Right? Like if you're like trying to get, like if you're 16, 17 and you're trying to get on that team in your early 20s, there might be only a few openings to play on that women's team.
And what's funny to think about, it's probably easier to make a men's team than it is a women's team because of the fact that with men, we have more professional sports to gravitate towards.
Yep.
So the top athletes, you know, they might be great athletes playing soccer, which we, you know, we've talked about it over and over. Like we have great athletes who play soccer who then all of a sudden go, you know what? There's more money in football. There's more money in baseball. I'm going to go that route. With women, you know, soccer is their top sport.
Yeah, that's true.
Basketball is there, but you need to have a certain height requirement to even be really considered to be a dominant basketball player or, you know, a chance to make the WNBA or just insane skills. Other than that, I mean, you know, unfortunately, women just, you know, there aren't really any professional sports for them.
Yeah. I mean, just the idea that it's even hard to get a soccer scholarship.
Yeah.
Right. It's hard to be good enough to get a soccer scholarship now because there's so many girls playing soccer at a high level. The idea of making the U.S. women's team, you could be outstanding, the best in your school, best in college, best and not make that team.
Usually there's... I would say somewhere in the neighborhood of 18 to 24 players. That's it.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing. Good for her.
Normally would it be. Yeah. So I
good
mean,
for her.
Making the prediction now, I think she's going to be the face of the U.S. women's national team.
And I'm glad she didn't go. I'm glad she didn't go the route of, that I hear all the time, which is just these unbelievable accounts when somebody says, well, when I was a kid, I said I wanted to be a soccer player, and then my teacher told me to shut up and pick something else.
Right.
Like we always hear this from these people. They're like, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a doctor, and my kindergarten teacher told me I was too stupid to be a doctor.
I was never going to read.
Yeah, who is doing that to children? I never believe those stories because I always think they're made up. Because they never give you the name. They always just tell you some teacher told them that they were idiots for wanting to pursue some dream.
I believe the older ones. I believe that Albert Einstein did have a teacher who said
maybe the old days. When a little kid, when I meet little kids and I say, what do you want to be when you grow old? And they go, I want to play football in the NFL. I don't go, well, you know, it's very, very statistically impossible to play in the NFL. You got to be, I just go, good luck. Hope they make it. I'd love to see you play.
You got to
And then
work
I
hard.
Move on. Yeah, you got to work hard, but I hope to see you play on Sunday. Then I move on. I do not destroy children's dreams. I don't know why people do this
Maybe
if they do it
do
at all.
Maybe we can start creating a segment just called Random School. Yeah. Say, hey, kid, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Exactly.
You won't. Give up now.
I coached Little League one year, and all the kids wanted to play Major League Baseball. We didn't win a game. Do you think I said, and by the way, those dreams are shot right now?
That was your end of the year speech, wasn't
it? Yeah. By the way, beginning of the year, I asked what you guys wanted to be when you got older. Many of you said Major League Baseballs. The fact that we went 0-7 this year just shows you that you all stink at this and none of you are going to play. So go home and cry about it. We'll see you next spring.
Give up now.
Yeah, give up now. Pick another sport.
Here's your participation medal.
Yeah, exactly, because that made me feel good. I don't know. Who are these adults telling these kids to stop dreaming like this? Dream like this. Way to go, Lavelle. Way to go, Rose. Way to make your dream come true. Well done. All right, what is the bad?
The bad of the day. There's two fight videos that have gone viral. And, you know, just leave me shaking my head. One is the NFL free agent Malik McDowell, who I don't see how he's going to be able to prove himself innocent after watching this video.
I did not see the video. I saw the story, and I meant to check the video out.
The video, I mean, you could tell that he is incoherent, that he is not sober.
Yeah.
The police officer did everything in his power to be on the right side of things, I feel, watching the video. I don't think he did anything wrong, and Malik McDowell just completely ignored him. The other video is, you know, it does strike a chord with me. I know it would strike a chord with you, is that, you know, that family brawl at Disneyland.
Yeah, I did see that.
In Toontown. I just...
Ooh.
You know what? I get it. Okay, you know, tickets are high priced. Yeah. In Southern California during the summertime, it could get really hot there. But I've, you know, even if I have like any issue with my family, I've never thought to myself, you know what would really work out for me well in this situation? Let me go smack someone.
Yeah, right.
You know, especially in Toontown. I mean,
especially at Disneyland.
Yeah,
it's the happiest place on earth.
It's supposed to be.
Supposed to be.
I don't get it, and the one redeeming thing that I did see, which you don't normally see in, like, you know, fight videos when they do start to go viral, there were bystanders stepping in to kind of calm the situation, break it up. You know, I mean, which is dangerous to do nowadays because you never
know.
Yeah,
would you do that? Because I would not do that at all.
I would like to think I would.
I think I would, but I know I wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm in that camp.
Like, seriously, if you're like, let's imagine you're at Disneyland, you're having fun with your kids, and there's this big fight and it's a brawl. Would you go, oh, I'm going to jump right in? Hey! Or would you go, I'm going to get out of here? That's probably me.
Yeah, but I don't think I would sit there with the video camera the entire time.
No, I definitely, let's film this.
I'm definitely not that guy.
Right.
I'm just like, let me just videotape this whole thing.
Not at all. Not at all.
But
yeah,
it's Disneyland. I don't see how you could be. I don't know. But maybe that's just me. I'm having too much fun. I'm a kid when I'm at Disneyland.
Yeah, me too.
That's
I'm
what
an
I
adult
love most
child.
About it. I'm wanting to run around and go on as many rides as possible and eat as many corn dogs and Cheerios as possible.
I don't have time for your family squabble.
Yeah. You know, lines suck, but that's why you go to Disneyland. There's going to be a line everywhere you go.
That's right. All right, what is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is I needed to drop some dumb on me. Maybe it's dumb on you.
Yeah.
I never knew this And it was brought to my attention yesterday, and I'm still scratching my head saying, I don't think this is real. Do you know that nodding guy, the meme of the nodding guy who's, you know, looks like he's in the woods and has a big bushy beard?
Yes.
I found out yesterday that is not Zach Galifianakis.
I thought it was the guy, was it Nick Offerman?
Okay, you thought it was Nick Offerman.
Yes.
No, it's actually Robert Redford.
No, it is not.
It is Robert Redford.
It's Robert Redford?
Yeah.
That guy with the big, the fatter face?
Yes, with the big bushy beard. I mean, I could have swore, I would have bet money that that was Zach Galifianakis.
How in the world is that? How is that Robert Redford?
I don't know. I've watched it several times, and I still don't see Robert Redford in there.
I got to look it up, because that is not Robert Redford.
It's, I guess, from a movie in the early to mid-80s. It's just a random scene.
Maybe he was a little... Maybe he got like, well, I had to put on 40 pounds for the role.
But I still don't see it. But I swear to you, I mean, it's a dead ringer for Zach Galifianakis. I mean, maybe, you know, for Zach Galifianakis, this is probably a good thing for him because he looks at it and goes, you know what? Robert Redford is, you know, still considered to be one of the sexiest guys out there. If I look like him, you know, now, chances of me looking like him later in life are pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, that's very true. It might be some hope.
But that's why it's dumb on us, because I was shocked when I read that. It was like it turned my world upside down.
Wow. I just saw a movie with Robert Redford in it not too long ago called The Old Man and the Gun.
Okay.
It's about the Over the Hill gang, about a guy who robbed banks based on a true story, was just addicted to robbing banks and breaking out of prisons his whole life.
Nice.
And he
got to have a hobby.
Robert Redford was 82 when he made that movie, and it looked good. My 82. God. So,
well, I know, man, you know, the last thing I think I saw him in was one of the Captain America movies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Can't remember which one.
Winter Soldier, I think he was.
Maybe that's what it was.
Exactly. Well, that is amazing. Yeah, maybe Robert Redford needs to speak out on this and say, yep, that really was me. Just so you guys don't know.
Do you think he knows Twitter?
Probably not.
He's got to know Twitter.
He's got to know Twitter. He seems like a smart guy. He doesn't seem like a guy that would be like, no, I want a dial phone and I want,
messages via fax.
Yep, I still use a mail, write letters with pencil and pen and still put it in the mail. But I think he seems smart.
All you guys listening out there, if you know that meme I'm talking about, just Google it. Just Google nodding meme guy and you'll see that picture. Tell me that's not Zach Galifianakis and how Robert Redford is in there.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb before Ron heads off for vacation. It is SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, this next story, Ron, when it rains, it pours. Lala Anthony is about ready to divorce Carmelo Anthony. And she also won $68,000 in a New Orleans casino slot machine. Oh, just can't stop the good fortune. 68 grand in a slot machine. Man, the most I've ever won in a slot machine was like $1,000. I think it was like $1,000. How do you win? When you win $68,000, even if you're wealthy, does that still feel awesome? Like you beat the odds?
It's got
to. Like you don't think about the money. You think about beating the odds.
Well, I think when it's that amount too, the money's not pouring out.
Right.
That's the only problem. That's why I'd want to win. You know, if I could win like $200 so I could just hear it go ding, 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 ding.
That's right.
And just have everyone stare at me and just, you know, I'd feel like a high roller. I'd stand there like Captain Morgan, really.
Yeah, true.
You know, just 1 foot up, hands on the hip, just like, yep, it's all me.
I know. One time I was, when I lived in Las Vegas, there used to be this Megabucks machine, play $3 to try to win the, you know, 28 million or whatever the progressive jackpot was. And every now and then I would put a $20 bill in the machine and say, all right, let me see if I can get six spins and see if I win enough to get some other spins to try to win the Mega Bucks. Of course, never even came close. But one time I was playing this quarter machine at this slot, and I got like a seven and then like two double diamonds. And I was like so excited because I thought, oh my God, I've probably won $10,000, but I only won like 500 bucks. Still, 500 bucks was cool, but there was that initial feeling like I must have done something fantastic. Like it started to light up a little bit, and then the ding, 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 ding started rallying up, and I wasn't doing the math fast enough to try to figure out how much each one of these is a quarter. It's rolling through.
Then
when is it going to
stop?
Yeah, and I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute, hold on. It was supposed to, it's seven, and then double that because it's supposed to be seven. So, well, I don't even want to figure this out. Oh, what could it possibly be? Then it stopped, and I went, oh, 500 bucks. Now, 500 bucks is a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. I was really happy that I won 500 bucks, but there was initial feeling like I had won 10 grand. So there was a little bit of a, oh, wait a minute. I thought this would be more. This seems like a very important thing to get on a slot machine. And 500 bucks doesn't seem like the proper payout for what I just, you know, for landing this. Because a lot of times those stupid slot machines will go like double diamond, nothing. Seven, seven, nothing. Right? It gets you all excited. This was, I got seven, then I got the double diamond, and then I got the double diamond again. My brain went bingo, and then, you know, cashed out at 500 bucks.
I think that's one of the problems why I don't like slot machines, because I never know what's going on.
Yeah, I know. I can't figure it out. I can't do the math fast enough, and I don't play dollar machines to you know, so when the money is going up, and if it was just a dollar a credit, that's easy. But my God, don't make me do math that when I'm excited about landing something on a slot. But Lala Anthony, 68 grand on a New Orleans slot machine, and she's about ready to file a divorce with Carmella. Rains and pours. It rains and pours. It's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.